Yeah, listeners, we're talking to Brent Delman, who is also known as the Cheese Guy. And we got in touch with Brent, although he was very busy at the time with the Fancy Food Show in New York. But his publicist, who I've worked with for quite a long time, wrote that he had worked wonders with kosher cheese and had all these products now available online, which is something we're always looking at, what's available online. So give us a little background, Brent. I was very impressed with the fact that you've been in business for over 20 years, is it?
Yeah, almost 30. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, hi.
Which is unheard
of. Hi.
Yeah.
Well, we have a niche. We have a nice niche in the marketplace, and you have to be nimble, and you have to continue to create a new niche for yourself as the bigger guys keep trying to sort of nip at your tails. You know, what was specialty at one point is no longer specialty now, and so you have to continue to get creative. But anyway, thank you, Ann and Peter. I appreciate you being on the show here and having me, and good to speak to you guys. So
wonder. I mean, it used to be that most of the kosher products were so ho-hum, and now we have really quality products coming out that are kosher. In your case, are you the only kosher cheese guy that's lasted that long?
No, there are some other kosher cheese companies out there, but they're sort of more of the commodity type cheeses. You know, some of the basics. I'm the only real specialty kosher cheese company in the market.
Now,
so that's my niche.
You know, what exactly distinguishes your product line?
So I originally started the company. So I had a wholesale specialty food distribution company. I started it about 30 years ago after I came out of business school. I first worked for a large company for a couple of years, and then decided to start my own business. I've always been passionate about food and wanted to bring some unknown small producers out to the marketplace. And I've always been passionate about cheese. And I realized I didn't grow up in a kosher home, but I became I took on a more traditional Jewish lifestyle later on in life after I had kids, and we decided to keep a kosher home, which means you only consume and only bring home kosher products. And I realized, being in the business, that there was really a lack of high-end specialty kosher cheeses available in the marketplace. I'd say about 27 years ago, I created the brand, The Cheese Guy, and it was after I had taken a number of different specialty food brands out to the market, and very often when I'd get them placed into large accounts, the producer would come around and go direct to the end user or to the stores. So I decided to create my own brand, which is the Cheese Guy.
Okay.
And sorry, remind me your coming back to the question was.
That would be a very big thing. I can't remember myself what the question was.
I can tell you, it's been a very interesting evolution, in the kosher cheese world.
Yeah.
So I know you'd said that we are not the only kosher cheese company, but the other kosher cheese companies are sort of the everyday basics. And one of the differences is that about 25 or 30 years ago, microbial rennet. So there's an ingredient that goes into the making of cheese, which is called rennet. I'm sure you're aware of it, and most of your listeners are as well. But microbial rennet was created or invented. And what that did is, so rennet is the coagulant. It's it takes the milk and it gets it to become, it coagulates it and becomes curds and whey. And the curds being the solid and the whey that whey is the liquid that drains off. So the coagulant, this rennet, normally is derived from an animal, from the stomach lining of a calf or a lamb. And that's,
yeah,
that's
never
problematic.
Understood why. I mean, that's what it always has been. So you substituted,
right.
What did you substitute for that?
Right, it's microbes. It's a rennet. It's a type of a rennet that mimics that the animal enzymes, and they're microbes.
Uh-huh.
And they serve the same purpose. So when you're producing kosher cheese, it's problematic to use the real animal rennet because there are some prohibitions in the kosher world of mixing. Which essentially is like a meat and milk, and when in order to get a an animal rennet, this stomach lining, the animal needs to be slaughtered, the calf or the lamb, and so it's essentially almost like a meat product. So anyway, there was the advent of microbial rennet about 25 or 30 years ago. It enabled new cheeses to be produced kosher, and no one had done it until I started on this venture. Nobody had produced or aged cheeses like cheddars and parmesans and things like that. So that's sort of what that is really the biggest thing that differentiates me from some of these other companies, that we've taken a lot of these cheese varieties from around the world, these specialty cheeses from Europe and elsewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're probably oriented more to a European cheese market or a Middle Eastern cheese market. How would you describe your orientation for style of cheese?
Well, so originally it was all American product. So I used to attend the ACS, the American Cheese Society.
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say used to. I still do, but I started about 25 or 27 years ago attending these conferences. And the American cheese producers have just they've raised the bar, and every year we're getting higher quality and better productions, and we're competing with the Europeans and with the with New Zealand and Australia and around the world. So I started the company producing cheeses locally in the New York area, New York and surrounding states, so New York and New Jersey and Vermont. And it was an artisanal cheese company that just happened to be kosher. And
that's the secret. That is why it's important to talk to you about that. It's not just that you produce kosher cheeses, but you produce quality cheeses that just happen to be kosher. And I think that's kind
right.
of your big selling point.
I had a question. Maybe it's a,
yes.
really, it's going to sound like a really dumb question. But do you actually make the cheese, or do you deal in the cheese, or do you do both?
So that's not a dumb question. That's a great question. I get asked that all the time. So it's a combination of the two. So I don't own a farm or what's considered a creamery, but what I do is I partner up with small farms and creameries, mainly up and down the East Coast or the Northeast U.S. And what I do is I'll go in, we'll take over the farm or the creamery for the day. We'll use their milk from the local farm, and I bring in my own ingredients, so the cheese cultures, the bacterial cultures, the rennet, etc. Bring in many cases, my own cheese making equipment, so the vats and the molds and the brine tanks and all kinds of equipment that's needed. We bring in our own equipment. And so it's a partnership. It's a real partnership. So, and I'm usually out there the first few times that the cheese is being made, because it's with our recipes. We have to source the ingredients that very often are difficult to find, these kosher ingredients. And so we'll make cheese together for the first couple of batches, and then they continue to produce for me. And then we age the cheese once the cheese is made. So the majority of our cheeses are mature and aged cheeses, as I mentioned, things like cheddars and parmesans. And then we take the cheese right after it's been made, and we do, it's called, there's, you know, the, you're probably familiar with the French term affinage.
Affinage.
Which, with, yeah, which means the aging of the cheese and the maturing, which, you know, helps develop the flavors and the textures, et cetera. So anyway, to make a longer story, it's really a partnership. It's a wonderful partnership. So we go out and partner up with all these small farms in the area.
And it must be very labor-intensive, though, because you've got to monitor all of this to be absolutely kosher.
Absolutely. You're right. You're right.
And that's very people-intensive.
It is. It is. And we are not the cheapest brand in the market, and the cheapest, but we're, our quality is second to none, and because everything is handcrafted. I'll give you an idea, just an example. So we make a cranberry cheddar up in Vermont. So we've partnered
wow.
up with a one, yeah, a wonderful. It's very similar to some of the. English cheeses like Wensleydale that have the fruits in them, or Stilton, where they have cranberries and apricots and blueberries and different things. So this cranberry cheddar, it's produced on a small farm in Vermont, and we had to source the cranberries and the cultures and the, you know, everything that I mentioned before, all the ingredients. So we go up there, and the cheddar is produced. All the milk comes from that farm and a couple neighboring farms in the area. And within hours of the milking, the cheddar gets produced. And then after aging the cheddar for a couple of months, we put it through a mill. And the mill sort of chops up that cheddar. And then we add the cranberries. And then we have to put it into a mold, again, a mold being M-O-U-L-D, you know, not the blue mold, you know, the cheese case. We have to put that cheddar with the cranberries back in the mold and press it again. So anyway, just needless to say, it's a very, very labor-intensive process, not cheap, but the quality, again, is second to none. It's really premium. And when people taste it, they say, boy, this is as good or better than any of those European cheeses that have some of the fruit in them. So yeah, needless to say, like I said, very labor intensive.
Do you have trouble finding partners? I mean, for something that's so labor intensive, and then the competition would be tight in terms of price.
Yeah. Yes to all of the above. although again, since I've been doing this for 27 years or so, we've developed wonderful, wonderful relationships. We have some of the relationships with these farmers in Vermont, as mentioned. We happen to produce with on a number of Amish farms in Pennsylvania and Ohio, which I absolutely love visiting and partnering with, because they're so meticulous and conscientious in the work that they do. So yeah, it's taken a number of years, but right now we have some great partners. And
Vermont is a very special place. I just read Allison Hooper and her husband from Vermont Creamery just got a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Specialty Food Association.
I was going to ask if you've come across or considered working with a British company called Neil's Yard.
Uh, I have not. I'm guessing that I'm very familiar with them. I'm guessing that all of their products likely contain animal enzymes,
oh,
the
right,
rennet,
right,
and
yeah, right.
Yeah, with this,
one of the that's a good question, because we have, so as the company has evolved, you know, originally, as I mentioned, we partnered with local companies. Since the brand has taken off, and we've developed all these new recipes for products that were never kosher or, and I wanted to bring this point out as well, vegetarian, because a lot of vegetarian, not only is it rennet, but there are some other ingredients that go into the making of our cheeses. There's another enzyme called lipase, for example, which is very often derived from an organ, from different organs in animals. So we don't use animal lipase either. So since our cheeses require that none of these animal byproducts are used, we're very vegetarian friendly, and we have a large following amongst vegetarians.
You know, I've read that. I read about your vegetarian. I mean, like, did you start doing that before vegetarianism became so major a trend?
We did. Yeah, we did. And then we realized that that was a large segment of our customer base. Yeah. But to go back to Peter's question about Neil's Yard, so we've actually partnered with a number of European companies that produce the original. You know, the Europeans, I'm sure you know, in everything they do, they're traditionalists. They've been making cheese or curing meats or wines and
for centuries.
For centuries. The same. I'm sorry.
The reason that I asked is that Neil's Yard also has an interesting business model, in that they will buy the cheese from the maker, and they do all the warehousing and all that stuff that's required in order to prepare their cheese for market. But it's interesting that what they're doing is they're taking the financial risk away from the producer and transferring it to themselves as the buyer, as the seller.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, it's a fascinating industry, because there are so many different layers to, you know, there's the farm and the milking, and then the production, and the aging, et cetera, and all the production of the ingredients, and then the distribution, you know, taking it from point A to point B. And there are a lot of, as we call in the distribution world, a lot of touches along the way.
Right.
It's a very intricate system. But, yeah, no, so I was just going to point out that.
Don't forget the regulations part, which has gotten totally out of hand, I think.
Yeah, well, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Whisper that, though. Don't say too much and too loud. Otherwise, the cheese police might be after you.
Well, we have, you know,
now,
one of the...
Do you invent your own cheeses at all? I mean, do you model on existing cheese formulas, recipes, or do you devise your own? I mean, you mentioned
some of
the fruit.
Yeah, so some of the cheeses we make modifications to an existing type of a cheese, so we'll age it a little bit longer. We have a creamy Havarti, for example, that we generally age for a year or more. Normally, Havarti is a very young, creamy cheese, maybe aged a couple of months, but we've taken that Havarti and aged it for a long time, so it develops almost like a cheddar bite to it. It develops a sharpness to it that it retains that creamy texture, but it has like a bite of like a cheddar. So we'll take existing cheese varieties and we'll make our own modifications. And then in other cases, we'll actually make a whole new cheese. So for example, we have a cheese that, excuse me, I was about to mention that we have partnered with a few small artisan cheesemakers in Europe now as well, and we're doing a little bit of our own importing. And so one of the cheeses that's sort of unique that we're producing, we call it Viney Sheep. And what that is, it's similar to like a Fiore Sardo. So it's made on the island of Sardinia. It's a sheep milk cheese. And you may have heard of drunken goat or whiny goat.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So what we do is we take these. Yeah, we take these sheep milk wheels, and we age them in wine vats, so it develops sort of that sweetness and winey. In a winey taste of almost like some yeastiness in the cheese, and a beautiful sort of red rosé rind on the outside, and again, this is our own proprietary recipe, and it's called Viney Sheep, so it's a sheep milk cheese similar to a winey goat. So there are a number, and then we have a craft beer cheddar that we produce, and we put different craft beers in it for every production, and we have a nice following amongst beer aficionados, people who look for different beers, and they can taste the different beers in our cheddar. So we have a lot of unique recipes, and others we just, like I mentioned, we just sort of take a basic everyday cheese like a cheddar or a Havarti and make our own modification in terms of aging, the aging process, or adding fruits to it.
It occurs to me that you probably dream of cheeses, don't you?
I do.
You're so engrossed with all the possibilities of cheese. Who did you decide? You said you found you had a different market from what you thought with your vegetarian cheese. What is your market in general? It's bigger than just kosher, so, right?
Right. Yeah. So we also, for example, we participate in a lot of local, and when I say local, in the New York, we call it the tri-state area, you know, New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey. We participate in a lot of farmers markets. So sometimes we have lines of people waiting at our booths for some of our specialty cheeses when they know that they're coming out, that we're going to be bringing them to the market on a particular week. We get long lines. So a lot of people in the New York area, we have locals who are looking for good specialty cheeses. We're carried. Our products are carried in Whole Foods as well as local specialty chains like DeChico's and Uncle Giuseppe's and Morton Williams and then a lot of the independent kosher specialty stores. So we have a wide range. They're carried in specialty stores. So we have people who are looking for good cheese, not just kosher cheese, but going back to the vegetarian niche. So one of the things that we've found that's quite interesting. We actually have a large following in the Indian American, Asian Indian American community, because they look for, many of them are vegetarians. So we often find that Indian Americans are big consumers of our products,
We knew an ice cream maker who discovered an unknown market or a hidden market in ice cream for like Indian weddings and things like that, celebratory things.
I mean, oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, they're I know there's a differentiation of Indians in the market in terms of products. I do know that. Now, will your market change now that you're going to? I'm assuming most of your products are in stores in the Northeast or Eastern Corridor.
We're up to about 65 different varieties of cheese. So most stores do not carry our full line, but this area is where the largest concentration of and the largest volume.
So you're now online and you're going to be able to do e-commerce. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, won't that change your whole market profile?
Absolutely. We've only been at it for now a couple of months, and it's quite interesting. We're getting orders from New Mexico and North Dakota, and you know some places that where our products have never been. Although we are available in stores in a lot of the larger metropolitan areas around the country, but. We are now available online, thecheeseguy.com, and we're seeing that we're getting some orders from a lot of places. And again, when you'd asked about who our, I guess, customer base is, so we've also got some raw milk cheeses. You know, we were about to touch on something that in that realm before, but you know, some of the regulations that are involved, it's a tricky.
Oh, talking about regulations. We're about to have another whole round of those, you know, of the raw milk thing.
That's
because of the, what is it? The, you know, this, the chicken thing.
The word.
The bird flu. They're going to issue a whole new round of regs on raw milk. Because it's been transmitted to cows is the reason.
Yeah.
So, the bird flu virus jumped into other mammals like cows and where we in milk products. So they're going to do another whole round of regulations on that. So.
Oh boy!
Well, of course, and now you're online. You need a whole another study of packaging, shipping, you know, all kinds of other stuff that you have to do. You have a lot of energy, Mr. Cheese Guy. Brent,
I'm
so delighted to find you, and I thank your publicist for bringing you to our attention. Again, listeners, it's Brent Delman, D-E-L-M-A-N, and his website is thecheeseguy.com, and I think you'll find the website very informative. And we'll give you access to buying unusual cheeses and sophisticated cheeses and kosher cheeses. But
thank you. Thank you, Anne. And one of the fun things about the new website is that we get a lot of inquiries and just general cheese questions. And as you can see, I'm passionate about what I do and about the cheese and the cheese world. So if anybody has just general cheese questions, doesn't even have to be about purchasing one of our products, I'm very happy to answer anything or that to help out. And
now,
thank you both.
This is a genuinely nice guy. Brent, thank you for talking to us. And
thank you, Anne and Peter.
Continued success. And
thanks so much. And to you as well. To you as well with your wonderful podcast. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.